Community Church, where you can wake up to the love of God, grow in Christ, and step out in service.
So, when John asked me to talk this morning, he said, I've run out of people to ask. Okay, so I am exaggerating that a bit. But you have to wonder, right? You have, let's see, last week you have a history teacher. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot to learn from history. But an organic chemist, one has to wonder, why would someone choose an organic chemist? I mean, of course, organic is everyone's favorite subject, right? thank you, John. I've been a teacher for a long time, and so one thing that we're going to be doing today is this is not going to be your traditional sermon, and those of you who are here for the first time, you will probably be relieved that you won't have to go through this every week. But before I start talking about the learning Christian, I just want to give you a little bit of background about myself. I grew up in a small town in Kentucky called Wilmore, Kentucky. And by the way, when I teach, I do pace in front of my students. I try to, you know, sort of keep them off kilter because they wonder, what is she going to do next? But I grew up in a place called Wilmore, Kentucky. And in this town is a Christian liberal arts college and a seminary. And my father taught at the Christian Liberal Arts College. This is Asbury College and Asbury Seminar. So in many ways, I think you would say that I had like a spiritually privileged upbringing. And so it's just amazing, some of the people who were leaders of our youth Bible studies and this sort of thing, I really had fantastic preaching, fantastic teaching as I was growing up. And I think one of the lessons I really carried from this time is that our faith should inform everything that we do. And that in order for that to be true, we need to cultivate it. We need to be growing Christians. But that it should always be a part of who we are and what we do. Okay, so I then went on. I went to Wheaton College in Illinois, Christian Liberal Arts College. I taught high school. I taught in New Mexico at a school called Navajo Methodist Mission School, and I spent a little over 2 years in Liberia, West Africa, again, teaching high school. So I taught chemistry, algebra, again, everyone's favorite subjects, right? But I think there's a couple things from that. That's where I learned that I love teaching, and that teaching is one of the best ways to learn. Okay, so when you teach something, you have to learn it. And then I moved on and went to graduate school, did a couple postdocs, one in England, worked in industry, worked for a pharmaceutical company in England, and then came back to the States, where I've largely been at UConn since 1994. With all of that, you think, boy, she must be like 100. But but some of them were short duration. I have been essentially not that long after I moved here, I started coming to Storrs Community Church. So the previous block of time, what I wanted to sort of convey from that is how much I love teaching and how important, how for me, teaching is part of learning, but also the joy of seeing people learn and think about learning. And then I just wanted to also mention what a privilege for me it has been to come to this church. I've loved how John has challenged me. I've loved the people in this church. You know, all along, people, because of the nature of where we are, people come and go. But I've taught Sunday school. One of the things that it was in many ways a great privilege was being on the building committee for this church And there were just some fantastic people on the committee. And also, it was a fantastic time because there were so many, this church isn't really just the committee, it's everyone who you know, came and cut down trees and helped us raise money and all these things. So it really is a place that means a lot to me. And this group means a lot. And part of the reason for that is that I feel like people here are always interested in growing. And I think they're caring and they want to spread the love of God. So with that, when I teach sophomore organic chemistry, it's usually to 150 to over 200 students. So I think every day about how I'm going to start the class, and I always say, let's get started. So I'm not very creative there. But it gets their attention. So let's see how the... Oh, wait, the wrong thing. Okay. Okay. So now, this is where you have to humor me today and remember that I'm a teacher. And so I'm not going to read... Elena read this out loud to you. And I want you to look through this again. And I want you to ask yourself the question, and I'll ask for some volunteers. This is the mild volunteer part of the service, so I'm easing you into it. Why do you think I chose this passage? Considering what the title for the sermon is, okay, why do you think I picked this passage? I'll give you a minute or so, and then I'll ask for some volunteers. Is there any water? Could someone, thank you, cinnamon? It must be the lights, because I don't usually get dry mouth in my lectures. You guys are frightening. Okay. So any thoughts about why I might have picked this passage? Give that girl a star. Yeah, no, exactly. That's definitely one of the reasons. So part of learning is asking and seeking. Thank you. Any other thoughts? Be careful. I saw Tom put his hand up to the side of his face. I might think you're raising your hand. any other thoughts? What about the last part? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father give the Holy Spirit? I'm letting you guys off easy now. You're not... any thoughts on that? Okay. Right, okay. That's good. Any other thoughts? Yes. They do, if they only knew that. That's true. And that's great. Any other thoughts? Yes.
If you don't ask, you're not going to get. If you don't look to find, you're not going to get. But if you do, and especially if it's to the Father, He gives us an abundance, more than what we ask.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, and that's what I hope we'll be open to today. And for me also, I wanted So we'll see there's two versions of this passage. And the reason I wanted to put this one up first is I want to remind us as we go, I'm actually going to be talking about strategies for learning, and it's going to be based around a book, but I want us to remind ourselves that it's the Holy Spirit that teaches us. And so things that you take and can apply, the Spirit can use, but our asking and seeking is because the Father who does give us these good things, but the learning comes through the Spirit. And so I want us to be open to that. The Spirit can teach us. Okay, so what? Oops. I just wanted you to see that some of the thoughts that I'm going to share at the beginning are from a book called Make It Stick, The Science. You know, I'm a scientist. I was hooked in right then, although there's a lot of pseudoscience around, but the science of successful learning. And so I do give a lot of thought to the way people learn, because the students in my classes are so diverse, and so many of them are resistant to learning, or they want to take the easy way out. And so I think a lot about what does make learning effective, and how can we make it stick? How can we make the learning stick? To be honest, I really don't expect people to use the organic in their life for the rest of their life. But the strategies for learning organic, which is not an easy subject, if you do it right, can go with you for the rest of your life. So let's, I just am taking some of the things that, go back one there. Okay, so some of the things that jumped out at me when I was reading, when learning is easy, it's often superficial and soon forgotten. And I love this, not all of our intellectual abilities are hardwired. In fact, when learning is effortful, it changes the brain, making new connections. It used to be thought that IQ was a fixed thing, but that is not what is believed any longer. That they have demonstrated that it is possible to build increased capacity. So effortful learning can change the brain. So that's pretty exciting to think about. You learn better when you wrestle with new problems before being shown the solutions rather than the other way around. And I want your mind to start thinking, okay, where is this going in terms of my spiritual growth? Okay, so sort of let that be bubbling at the back of your mind. To achieve excellence in any sphere, you must strive to surpass your current level of ability. Okay? So the book describes three keystone strategies. And we'll come back to these again, but I'm partially going to talk about them, and then we'll fill some of it in later. So one thing is to practice retrieving new learning from memory. People tend to believe, a lot of students tend to believe that if they just read, they will, the more times they read something, the better they know it. But studies have shown that this is not the case. You need to step away and try, and I'll give a strategy for this in a little bit, but to step away and try to remember things, you need to quiz yourself as you're going through something, like, why is this there? What was the author trying to say? What is my teacher going to ask me on the test? So that you're interacting with what you're you're learning or reading. Space out retrieval practice, what might that be? Well, this is definitely the case for things where you learn well, is that you start early and keep coming back to the material. So you don't just read it and study it for a test or a quiz. If you really want to know something, you keep coming back to it much later. And I think you can start to, because you're reinforcing that knowledge. And interleave the study of different problem types. So I have a little taken from the book, what I found to be an interesting baseball story. They've done these studies where they'll have baseball players practice hitting particular types of balls. So, you know, just curveballs, just fastballs. And then they had a group of baseball players who they were changing it up constantly through practice. Okay, it seemed like the ones who were doing repetition, you know, the curveballs first, the knuckleballs, the whatever, I don't know. You know, they would perfect each of them. They were making the most progress until there was a game. And the people who had been doing, you know, all through the practice, switching fairly regularly, actually ended up doing better. And so in learning, if we repeat the same thing again and again, or if we don't change subjects, okay, and again, you're going to have to make some jumps. How do I apply that to my Christian life? But they found that people who when I was in college, I was far more organized than I am now. Like, I would only spend an hour on a given subject at a time, and I would do that the next day and the next. And so when it came time for tests, my roommate would be up till 3 in the morning, and I would be like, I'm so sick of this material, I'm going to bed at 10. But the point there is the interleaving of different types of problems. Okay, just a minute. Holly, take me back one. Thank you. Okay. Sort of what we've been saying, practice at retrieving new knowledge or skill from memory is a potent tool for learning and durable retention. Effortful retrieval makes for stronger and learning and retention. When the mind has to work hard, learning sticks better. Testing doesn't need to be initiated by the instructor. And so I think most of you are probably thinking, not all of you, but most of you are probably thinking, I see people going off to college soon, so testing is different there, but you will be thinking about testing, but most of us are like, never want to do a test again, but I think you can still appreciate that we can test ourselves about things, right? We can improve how we learn by testing ourselves. Okay, so there's, and I don't know, these were just the next thing. I'm going to just stick out my arm, and you can go to the next. When I stick out my arm, that way we're not jumping around so much. Okay, these are just a couple thoughts that I, so mix up your practice. We've already gone there. I love this avoid illusions of knowing. I see this an amazing amount in teaching. So many students come to me and say, I read and reread the chapter, I did the problems, I read my notes and I still got a D on my exam. You know, and as if somehow this is my fault. And I don't take these things personally, right? I've been at this job for too long. But what, in probing, what I learn is that they're not doing problems in the right way. So they'll, like I stress the importance of problems, but they'll look at the problem. If they can't get the answer, they'll go, unfortunately, there's solutions manuals. They'll go straight to the solutions manual, and they'll think they understand because they understand what the solutions manual author wrote. So, and people will frequently come to me saying, I read and took notes on the chapter, and why am I not doing better? And again, it's not the right kind of learning. The best kind of learning requires you to really question things, to ask why, to test yourself without looking. For me, when students do organic problems, I don't want them to do all of the problems at once. I want them to try some, go back to their notes and their book, and then to come back the next day and try others that they've not seen before, because if they can't get those, they're not really understanding. But they have to figure out, how do I figure out when I'm not understanding something? And then how can I figure out a way to understand? But the illusion of knowing is so strong because people are often told, just read it again. But if you want to retain it for a long time, you've got to be more engaged, okay? So look at these again, because we're about to do something I know you're all going to love. So what I'm going to ask you to do in just a minute is to break into groups, and I'll have some questions, and think about things that you already do for your faith and how you might change them up, and think about things that you could be doing that would make your learning and your receptivity to the Holy Spirit greater. Okay, so this was an example in the book which of a type of thing that I don't think students typically do, but I think you've been looking at this, you know, just if, for example, when a student after lecture, if on the same day they go and sit with a blank piece of paper for 10 minutes and write down everything they learned from the lecture. So you can imagine if you, say, read the Bible in the morning or something, you could sit down that night and spend 10 minutes and see what you remember. And I think when you first start an exercise like that, it might be a painful, the woman who had proposed this said, you know, at the beginning it's a painful exercise because you're not used to thinking in that sort of way. But then I think you can imagine that if you keep something like that up, then when you're reading, you'll start thinking, what is the key thing here? What do I want to be able to remember later? So I'm not staring at the blank piece of paper for, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or whatever. But do you see the sort of thing I'm talking about, that if you never change things up and you never push yourself to remember things, I'm trying to figure out how to do this with like all the things I forget, like names or my car keys. Like I must do that all the time because I leave my car keys weird places, and so I'm working on remembering where my car keys are. But I think you get my point. So I want you to, next slide. Okay, so I want you to break into, and this is not something you have to do every Sunday. Remember, I'm only here this week. So, and if you're really uncomfortable, you can break into a group of two and talk about the weather. But just get into small groups and let's take a few minutes on how can you take things that you usually do and build, using the ideas and some of the key strategies, change them up. And maybe what are some different approaches you can try. So groups of three, four, five, but a group is not one. So, one more minute. Okay, can we have, you try to make it, cut it off while the discussion's still going strong, right? So, because if they're 20-year-olds, no telling what they're doing, right? So, okay, so let's have some sharing here. Who wants to give us some of the things that their group said? I know you all weren't all talking about the weather. Oh, go ahead, Dorinda, and I'll come back. So we have three large groups, like to share the other example that heard. One was in moments when we feel like we hurt the most, such as highlights of a retreat. You could come back from the retreat and to emphasize or to solidify the thing that you're learning, you could share with another person a highlight of the retreat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think verbalizing with someone else is really a helpful reinforcer. Was that you, Ken? Okay, here. Just a minute, we have two going. I was here, and then I'll come to you. Okay. Right. And that's excellent because it's still effortful learning, right? It still is how do I use my style to really learn. Right. 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 But the coming back, I think is a great thing. Someone else, yes. Right.
Like, even if it's just a couple of minutes, you know, in the middle of the day, get a little portion of that scripture back and go,
right.
Oh, yeah, the Lord is my shepherd. And then later on during the day, a little bit more. And then maybe at the end of the day, take the whole thing again and review it. I don't know, like, add some different timing.
Yes. No, I think even small things, right? That yeah. Anyone else? Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, and you know, this is a recruiting tool, right? to point this out that. If you teach things from the Bible to little kids, you'll learn a lot. Okay. Anyone else? Yes. Right, just every once in a while saying, oops, I'm getting sort of settled. Maybe I need to do something about that. Anyone else? Okay, so there's a cut, so I'm going, we're not actually through with thinking. sorry, you have to go a little longer. So this was a list in the book where a psychology professor had this one student. He gave really hard tests, and he had this one student who, like, was getting 95 to 100 on his tests. And, you know, this just never happened. And so he asked the student why this was the case. So here's a sort of interesting exercise, and I'm going to go quickly. But so you can just look at some of the things that the student did. But let's just do a quick exercise here. Always does reading prior to a lecture. What if you read the scripture passage, which is usually in the bulletin for the next week? What if you read that before you came? I was talking to Carmel recently because she wasn't going to be here and she was wondering what I was doing. She mentioned one of the times when she was teaching the high school Sunday school class, and we used to have Sunday school before church, that they, for one of their series, they would read and discuss the scripture before the sermon each week. And it made such a difference to what the kids actually were paying attention, much closer attention, because they had been, even if what they thought was completely different, it made them aware of the scripture. And we've been through sort of the anticipates test questions. I mean, you know, the thinking as you're going through things. This is a good one. Answers rhetorical questions in his head during lectures to test his retention of the reading. And so you can imagine, like, asking yourself things like, say, when you're listening to a podcast or listening to John preach, you know, ask yourself, I wonder why he's saying that. You know, what did he mean by that? How could I apply that to my life? You know, these sort of things that make you interact more. Anyway, could you go two more? The next one's just more of these things, and from the same guy who... So this is some of the things I've been doing recently, although the first one, the note cards, is more relevant to when I was probably, say, in fifth grade or maybe even earlier, I started memorizing scripture. And so I would review it a lot, and a lot of it, because of that, still comes back to me. But you can put things on note cards, and one nice thing about note cards is you can mix them up, right? And you can take one with you or stick one on the refrigerator or by your bed or something like that. I read a lot of different books, not just chemistry books, not just the Bible. Books make me think about my faith, and books challenge my view of the world and that sort of thing. So that's something I've been doing a fair amount of recently. And what someone said about writing things down, so, you know, rather than having things everywhere, write it in a journal, and then you can more easily review that. And talking to people, I think all of us are busy, but one of the things I've really tried to re-engage in recently is every once in a while sitting with some friends and talking. And, you know, talking about what I'm reading, talking about my faith, all these things. And it's taking that time to do that that has really consolidated a number of things. Just one more quick thing, going to the next. This isn't showing up. Well, I love podcasts, so podcasts are one thing. But then there's also the times that maybe you don't want to listen to anything, right? You want to just walk and not be listening, because that's when I listen to the podcast. But maybe I should be doing sometimes when I'm not doing that. You know, maybe I need to change that up and just, you know, be receptive to what God wants to say to me. And so if you go to the final, I believe the final, oh, well, so these next two statements are sort of the takeaway messages. The most successful students are those who take charge of their own learning and follow a simple but disciplined strategy. And again, remember that the Holy Spirit informs what we learn about our faith, and I'm not trying to take away from that. And I love this last sentence because I do think it's worth embracing. Embrace the fact that significant learning is often or even usually somewhat difficult. So it's something to embrace. It's not something to be frightened or bothered by. And so on the last slide, I believe, I come back to this passage. And the last sentence now is slightly different. You know, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him. And so the Holy Spirit, there are gifts of the Spirit, right? So that's one thing. And I think in this hurting and broken world that we live in, that our relationship with God and that relationship, if it truly informs completely who we are, that is how we can be a gift for others too, right? And that ultimately is part of what we want to be, and that is sort of the subject of another class or whatever. But I think we want to take that away, that part of why we're doing this is that there are so many needy people around us. And if we don't have something to share that grows from our relationship with Christ, we can't really address any of that. And so I will close with that. And I think I'm supposed to do the musicians first. Sorry. And I've run over a bit, and I apologize. Okay.
Thank you for listening. To find out more, check us out at storeschurch.org.